on the air, everywhere. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Holy crap. Hey. How are you today? Looking good today? How are you? Good to see you. My name is Ron Van Dam. And if you spell it backwards, it's the same thing in a mirror. How you doing? Welcome to the podcast. The date of this podcast is December 26, 2014. Just about 5 days left of 2014, and then it's not anymore. Then it's the same kind of thing. It's just a different kind of tag at the end. The 2-0 part still stays the same, and the 1 does as well, but that the 4 changes to a 5. And it always seems to go up instead of down. It's not like, hey, it's 2014, next year is 2012. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? You go, oh, that's all confusing. I'd never be able to write my checks. What I put on my check, I can't remember. So if you go up 1 year, it's usually easier. But it also means we're getting older and wiser. Who wants to get wiser? Raise your hand if you want to get wiser. Yeah, nobody's hand went up. I wish I was with the Oriental Chinese culture. Is that politically correct to say? Because they revere their older, wiser people. They get down on their knees and they kiss their feet, which is disgusting because it's pretty smelly down here. But I love that. I think you should always respect your elders. They've been around one more day than you at least. And, man, they could learn a lot in that one day and you didn't learn anything. So always respect your, never talk back to them. Be nice. Just be nice. That's the lesson of the holidays, isn't it? Of Christmas and Hanukkah. Look, I got all over the place. That's the lesson. I'm not pissed anymore about this because I'm beyond pissed. And that was my fourth book, Beyond Pissed. You remember that book? It was very, very popular. It was on Amazon, then they took it off because it was crap. And they said, we can't have crap on Amazon. I said, what? Look at all the books you got on them now. And they said, yeah, but yours is like really crap. Beyond Pissed. It's available in paperback and in liquid form as well. Anyway, I've been complaining for a little over a week now about something that infiltrates itself into my life, and I can't do anything about it. It surrounds me. It's just awful. And I told you the story that I started receiving Christmas cards at my house about 2 weeks ago at least. And I opened up one card, and a very nice Christmas card, and inside it was like, Merry Christmas, here's a picture of me and my kids, aren't we ugly, standing in front of the fireplace, the whole bit. But there were sparkles inside, which a lot of you call glitter, I understand. I've since heard from many of you and said, Ron, it's not sparkles, it's glitter. And I said, you know, whatever, okay, man, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, it's those little pieces of sparkly dust, like fairy dust crap, and it's inside a lot of Christmas cards, and it's on the cover of Christmas cards, and people are thinking they're being really cute and magical when they're being like really annoying and pissing me off. So I opened it up, and a couple of pieces, I'd say about little 10 little sparkle things, flicking sparkly little glitter things, got on the floor. And through experience, because I am old and wise, that shit is lethal, man. Once it gets into your house, it multiplies and you can't get rid of it. And it's there for years and years and years. This glitter stuff is just like awful, man. You get like one little sparkle glitter piece on your floor, and it's very, very small. It's not like the, it's not like sequins or anything where you can pick it up and go, ugh, and just throw it in the garbage, and you're done with it. It's done. It's over. The sequins is gone. But with sparkles and glitter, they're so tiny, they're minuscule. You can't pick them up. They're too small. You have to like lick the end of your finger and then touch it to the piece of glitter or the sparkle, and it comes up on your finger. And when it's on your finger, you go, ew, look at this on my finger. And you wipe it off or you flush it down the sink, and you think it's done with, but it's not, because there's like, there's 10,000 more of them. They're like cockroaches. They just, they multiply and they grow and infiltrate, and they take over your life, and they get into your bloodstream, and they tackle you when you're down. They know when you're down, and they psychologically eat at you, and everything is sparkles. And then when you go to eat soup or have a hamburger or something, you just picture the glitter inside the hamburger meat, and you see it in your soup even though it's not there. And it starts to just eat away at you, and it gets into your brain cells, and your brain cells can never come back, but the glitter does. And it's just it's everywhere. And it's all of a sudden you just it's all consuming, and you're in a therapy and stuff, and there's a therapist who just doesn't understand the problems with sparkles and glitter. They think it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and you try and explain to them, you don't understand. It's like the zombie apocalypse. They're going to take over. You don't understand it. It gets into your bloodstream and your lungs, and you die from these things. And they don't understand you, and they put you away into a place where the sleeves are in the back, and they tie in the back, and it's not like a hospital gown or anything. It's like the opposite. It's just awful, and it's all for one piece of stupid little glitter on a Christmas card. It's just horrible. It's horrible. Little girls do that. Oh, I don't like little girls, because they're capable of putting sparkle on their eyelids. Why would you do something like that? Do you think that's attractive? Do you think people look at you and go, oh, you're a very, very beautiful girl. I somehow wish your eyelids would just like glitter and sparkle. That would make you perfect. Nobody says that. Nobody cares. Nobody's looking at your eyelids. They're usually open. Your eyes should be open. If your eyes are closed and you're sleeping and you're dead, and that means that, then you can put sparkle on. I don't care if you're dead and you put sparkle on, because that's all going to be consumed and contained within your coffin. So I don't care about that. But don't you dare get one sparkle on my floor at all, especially in a rug, because sparkles and glitter in a rug, they just kind of like, they have feet, and they just kind of like dig into the nap, and they stay there, and they never come out ever, 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 and they live forever, because they're not really living, breathing things. They're actually dead little pieces of something. It's just little pieces of crap. I don't know who even invented sparkles and glitter. How do you make that stuff? How do you just go to annoying school and you say, let's make the most annoying thing, and then come up with that, and then a test tube or something? I don't know how you make glitter or sparkle. I mean, it's so small, it's so tiny, it's just, ugh, it's awful, just awful. So it's in my house, and I'm a goner. I'm a goner. It's all over. Goner. Gonorrhea, that's what I've got. It's awful. It's just, it started as a little piece of sparkle, and now it's all over the house, and I'm finding it in rooms that I haven't even been in yet, because these sparkles, these little pieces of glitter, they get to the bottom of your socks and the bottom of your feet, your shoes or something, and they cling on. They like a Star Wars just awful. So now it's all over my house, and every room I go into, I see little. The carpet is just glittering in certain areas, and as soon as I pick it up, I look somewhere else, and there's more glitter, and I realize that it's all over. It's pretty much all over. And even if I vacuum, the glitter gets inside the vacuum bag itself. I happen to have a no bag vacuum cleaner, because I don't want to change bags and get my hands all dirty. So that glitter is just like recirculating in there within the confines of that vacuum cleaner. And every time I use the vacuum cleaner, it's kind of just recirculating the glitter, because it's so small and light and airy that it's just placed somewhere else. And that's the problem. So I have to throw out my vacuum cleaner now, because there could be a piece of glitter in it. You don't understand how horrible and devastating it is, and how many children die on an annual basis from glitter exposure and upper respiratory illnesses due to glitter congestion, which gets into the lungs and the bloodstream, and it makes your blood look real pretty, you know, because it's glittery, but it's not good for you. It's hemonoglobin, no globin in that hemo. It's really, really bad for you. I'm just saying. This is a time of year when everybody, I should do a transition before I get into another subject, I suppose. All right, here's a little transition music. By the way, I'm going to say this very gratuitously. I really don't care, and I'm not saying it because I want to say it. I'm saying it because it's gratuitous. And every once in a while, you do gratuitous things in your life in order to make other people feel that they're included and wanted, when indeed they're not. But it's a facade. Everything's a facade. So you make the facade, you build the facade, and you live the facade. And here's your facade. How was your Christmas? Okay, fine. Did you enjoy that? And to my Jewish friends, how was your Christmas? No, to my Jewish friends, how was your Hanukkah, all 8 days of them? Eight nights, whatever. I have no idea what it is. I mean, if someone says to you, like, how was your Christmas? You simply say, it was good or it was bad, right? But if you say to somebody, to your Jewish friends, how was your Hanukkah? They could feasibly say nights one and two were good, three sucked somehow, four was good, five and six were not great, great Hanukkah days, eight was cool. I take that back, six was cool, seven was not cool. Wait a minute now, three was better than two, really. Two could not compete with day one of Hanukkah. That was just awesome. And then we had a few good days of Hanukkah. We had a good run. We had a good run for a while. And then we took a turn. The fourth day of Hanukkah, not so much. Because days two and three were so great. How can you compare day four of Hanukkah to day two and three? Because they were just fantastic. They were off the map. I got a dreidel with glitter on it, and it was just beautiful. And man, we were spinning that dreidel all day on day two and three. We were spinning that dreidel, man. We were putting some heavy money down to see what Hebrew letter would come up. We don't know what they are. We just know that they look different. We thought they were Chinese letters. We had no idea. And symbols. But I won 2,000 on the on that Hebrew H kind of thing, you know, with the fancy little Hebrew H stuff, you know, with the two dots over it. And I won two grand on that, because my dreidel came up. That letter came up about three times, and I had put about $600 down on the dreidel coming up with that letter. So days two and three were great. They were fantastic days. Four, not so much. Had some bad dreidel luck. I didn't have my lucky pants on, and therefore the wrong side of the dreidel kept coming up. And I started drinking heavily because of that. It was Manischewitz wine, and it's pretty good wine. You know, it's Concord grape kind of wine and stuff. It's about as close to sugar death as you can get. It's loaded with sugar. But, you know, we're the Jewish people, and we eat crap like that. We have a lot of sugar, and we fry things, and we make up foods that really don't exist. As I've said before, we have the gefilte fish, which, as you know, is a deadly fish that comes out of the waters of the Gulf. And they're swimming around, the gefilte fish. And you catch one of those, and you have and you eat those things up. And we have matzahs because we can't, the bread won't rise. I don't know what the hell it is, but we got no rising bread going on here. So we do a matzah thing. We say that it's a product. Indeed, the bread just wouldn't rise, and we didn't want to throw it out. So we figured we'll market it. We'll call it a matzah, and we'll put an H at the end just to screw with people's heads. Let me put some glitter on the top, make it kind of fancy matzah. That's what we'll call it, fancy matzah. So to my Jewish friends, happy Hanukkah, and Merry Christmas to everybody else. And then there are some other religions that not too many people know about, so you just go do what you want to do, and you're never going to be popular. But that's not the idea of a holiday, to be popular. The idea of a holiday is to celebrate it or observe it. I mean, isn't it fun to observe holidays, that phrase is used, to observe it? I mean, what do? You just stand there with your hands on your hips and go, I'm observing Christmas. I'm observing things going on. Yeah, it's a stupid word. It's a stupid adjective. Or a stupid adverb, really. Observing the holiday would be an adverb. If I remember correctly, see, I took English in school because I speak it now, and they have certain rules and regulations, but I spell check everything. What the hell's the difference? Why even take a math class? They got calculators all over the place. What, they didn't have, people used to carry around an abacus. Do you remember an abacus? Yeah, they were little beads, and if you were buying a house or something, you didn't have enough beads to figure out your mortgage. It was really, so now they have calculators and all that stuff. But anyway, how was your holiday? Good? Yeah, that's nice. And I say that gratuitously. If you told me your holiday was wonderful, I'd probably respond by saying, oh, good, that's just great. And if your holiday was horrible, I go, oh, that's just great. I don't care. I just totally don't care at all. I make believe I care, though. I make believe pretty well that I care. I can throw across a pretty believable I care kind of thing. Like, how was your holiday? Oh, it was horrible. Oh, what happened? Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you know, I'll do that. I actually, thanks for asking, but I actually had a very weird day yesterday on the 25th. People over to my abode, and I was all excited because I had purchased this roast beef about a week ago, and I was on sale and stuff, and I marinated it, you know, stuff like that. And then came Christmas Day, and someone was telling me about a roasting bag that you get in the supermarket. It's a plastic bag, and you shove your roast, which is a lovely, lovely phrase. You shove your roast in this bag. You put it in the oven at 350 degrees for about 200 hours. That would kind of burn it. You put it in a 350-degree oven for about 2.5 hours, and your roast is about 3 to 4 pounds, so that's the equation on that. And you put vegetables in it and some seasoning, and apparently when you open the bag after 2.5 hours in the oven, it's just a perfect roast beef or prime rib, whatever the case may be. So I was very, very excited about it and all that kind of stuff. But in the back of my mind, I'm saying to myself, Ron, you haven't really done this before in a bag. Which is what I said the first day I bought condoms, and it was with this lovely lady. And I said to myself at that point, Ron, you haven't really done this before in a bag. Anyway, so what I did was, I'm very, very intelligent. I'm very intelligent when I'm not doing this, I'm very intelligent. I bought chicken breasts, enough for everybody, just in case something happened. So, and the chicken breasts, they last a long time. You know, the expiration date was like December 29th or something. So I figured, okay, you know, eat the chicken breasts within a few days after Christmas anyway. So I'm taking the meat out. I'm taking my meat out, so to speak. And I'm about to put it in the bag. And there's this odor coming from this marinating container that I had the meat in. It's just odor of death. I mean, it was just like a pig died in my mouth. It's a horrible smell. And I called some people over there, and I said, does this smell good to you? And they go, no, that's bad. That meat is dead. I said, yeah, well, it's supposed to be dead. But I said, is it the marinade? And they said, that's like bad meat. And they said, Ron, what's the expiration date on that meat? What does it say on the package? To use by what date? I said, use by 12/22. I said, Ron, it's 12/25. It's 3 days past the expiration. I said, yeah, what's 3 days? I've been marinating my meat, so to speak. So, like, what's the problem? And that smells like rancid. So I had to throw out this beautiful piece of meat that cost me about $35-40. That's a lot of money for a piece of meat. But, aha, I had the chicken on standby. And I pulled out my beautiful-looking chicken, man. And, made a nice Indian sauce for the chicken with curry and mango and all that wonderful crap. And I had some yogurt that hadn't expired, and I made a beautiful sauce, and things turned out just fine, actually. Thanks for asking. Okay. Transition time? Transition music? Should we? Should we do the should I do it? Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie too, and then home. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep. Just a perfect day. Problems all left alone. Weekenders on our own. It's such fun. Just a perfect day. You made me forget myself. I thought I was someone else, someone good. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep me hanging on.
It's true. The perfect day is spending it with you on this podcast. It's so special.
Just what you sow. You're going to reap just what you sow.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds? Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay, it's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Welcome back to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Different than other podcasts and other programs in the sense that it's just really different. Can't really explain it. Don't know how to explain it. It's just different. I just believe that, you know, if you could have a podcast, you'd probably say the same crap that I'm saying, and you'd probably say it even more so. I'm actually being very gingerly and tender about it. So the movie The Interview with James Funkel and Seth Rogen, two immature assholes. I believe that. Some people think they're funny, and they are mildly amusing and stuff, but they are the college frat kids that never grew up, and many people say all the power to them, and I say, grow up, you stupid bastards. And they're just the sophomoric stuff, sophomoric movies. This movie, The Interview, pissed off North Korea because Kim Jong-un, or whatever, gets assassinated in the movie. It's a comedy. I mean, and he gets killed in it, and that's the idea of the movie, and it's just a stupid frat, stupid comedy. And now it's a global piss-off contest that has turned into a cyber war knot. And I think you know the story. As I understand it, Sony was hacked into, and all their stuff on all their records in the computer, the comments they made about actresses and stuff, apparently they called Angelina Jolie a bitch. And you know what? She probably is. I mean, she's probably an officious, above everybody else kind of asshole bitch. She probably is. I don't know. I don't know her. I don't know her except for that time we had sex in Bermuda. But I didn't know it was her. She was like wearing glasses. But I should have known by the lips. She has huge, huge lips the size of a Buick. Buick lips, I call her. But anyway, they hacked into the Sony and they got the accounts of their employees and their personal information and their addresses and emails and where their salary checks are sent to, their bank accounts, social security numbers. I mean, it was an incredible breach into Sony. And the immediate response was, because North Korea was so upset about this thing that they had made threats, and then it actually happened. So they said, oh, North Korea is actually doing cyber attacks on American companies and American people. And North Korea saying, you know, I know we said we'd do it, but we didn't do it. And we go, yeah, sure, North Korea. Apparently it wasn't North Korea. It was some employee of Sony that was trying to get back at Sony that hacked into it, apparently. And now it's an international affair, and we're having affairs internationally, and it's just awful. All for a stupid movie. If it was for a good movie, I'd say, all right, you know, nuclear war because of a good movie, acceptable. But for a Seth Rogen and James Franco stupid fraternity comedy, I mean, no, it's not worth the death of billions of people. Anyway, I think Obama should get on the phone to Kim Jong-un and say, you know, you said that you were going to bomb movie theaters and do hacking and stuff, so we really assumed that it was you that was hacking into Sony. But I guess I have to apologize because we blamed you, although, you know, you like kind of told us you were going to do it, even though it wasn't you that did it. You know, you kind of put yourself out there, North Korea. So what's the lesson for North Korea? Keep your fucking mouth shut is pretty much it. If you're going to hack something or make threats, you better follow through with it and not let somebody else do it. Don't make threats that you can't, don't intimidate. Don't intimidate unless you can really, really, really carry it out and do it. So in the Boston area, from which is the area from which I podcast, there's one theater in Cambridge that opened yesterday and is showing the film. One theater, because Sony decided to release it, even though they were intimidated previously. Now they released it, but very limited engagements. But here's what's interesting, man. This is this whole fiasco is kind of changing the it's a horrible thing. You'll see, it's changing the atmosphere of movies that are released. We all enjoy going to the movie theaters, don't we? Don't we love going to the movie theaters, sitting in a dark room with about 4,000 other sweaty people? Don't we like that? Of course, the movie theaters I go to, it's like 16 screens and there's only like maybe 10 people in each theater, but that's besides the point. It's true. I remember the days I used to go to a movie theater and there'd be like hundreds and hundreds of people, a couple of thousand people sometimes. And now you go to these little duplex, stupid plexes and there's like, it's like 10 seats, you know. It's like, so you might as well stay at home. But that's the problem. This movie, The Interview, is being released now on the internet. So you pay for it, but you can watch it on the internet, on your screen at home, whatever the case may be, on your TV, if you have that technology, and most people do. So it's going to start cutting out the movie theaters. They're going to find that releasing the film on the internet is going to yield you a hell of a lot more money, because you can still charge a lot of money, but you're like, your audience is the entire world, as opposed to just somebody who get in their car and drive to a movie theater. I think it's going to start putting movie theaters out of business. There'll always be movie theaters, but there won't be a lot of them. There aren't a lot of them already. But I think that's going to be the new thing of the future, is new movie releases, cinematic releases will not be so popular in movie theaters, more popular on your internet, the immediate releases. Mark my words, you little bastard. It's going to be true. That's one of my predictions for 2015. Here's my other prediction, and this is horrible as well, and I shouldn't even say this, but I believe that sometime within the next year or three, there's going to be some kind of study done on cell phones. And they're going to find that everybody who has a cell phone and puts it in their pocket or puts it in their shirt pocket or keeps it like within a foot or two proximity, but even worse, if you wear it on your body, you will find that you are going to certainly get some type of horrible cancer. Because, and I've talked about this before, these phones, these smartphones, are constantly being bombarded with data, backwards and forwards, that's being transmitted, received and transmitted into a location that is right near your body 24/7 for many people. And those people, I think, are in great danger of some cell destruction over the course of years, not immediately, but over the course of 10, 20 years, you will find that health-wise, you're going to be in horrible, horrible shape because of your cell phone. There's a new cell phone now. I believe Samsung came out with it. It's the old Dick Tracy. Some of you don't know who Dick Tracy is. He's a detective, and he had all this detective gadget stuff, and it goes all the way back to the 50s and 60s, and even before. And he had a wristwatch, and he could talk to people on his wristwatch. It was a wristwatch phone kind of thing, or wristwatch walkie-talkie. Again, some people, walkie-talkie, what the hell are you saying? I don't know what is a walkie-talkie? What are you being so stupid for? It was an actual thing. Now it's come to life, like 60, 70 years later, where you can wear this thing on your wrist and you can, it's a little computer on your wrist and you can talk to people and you can text on your wrist bone and stuff like that. To me, that's certain medical death. I mean, that's, you're wearing it right on your skin, man. And that's like getting radiation and chemotherapy like 24/7. Seriously, I mean, low grades of it, but eventually it's got to do something to you. So that's my prediction as well. To be very, very careful. Don't put your cell phone near your ass or otherwise. Okay, as we're getting to the end of the year 2014, I get very nostalgic for things. And I thought we would just like take a little journey. I've been doing this podcast here since July of this year, approximately 110 episodes. More. Approximately 130 episodes that I've done here with this particular venture, and so many more otherwise. So I thought we would kind of like review stuff. Stuff that really like blew me away, man. Here's one of them that really blew me away. And of course, it's the Bill Cosby saga, which just keeps on going. It's got legs, man. And this was a comedy routine that Bill Cosby did way back in the 60s or 70s, I think. And he talks about drugging girls and, you know, putting stuff in people's drinks to drug them and to make them submissive sexually. And when he did this comedy routine, and he would travel with this routine, and people would laugh like crazy. Now, in light of what's going on with Bill Cosby, certainly not so funny, but very, very, very ominous. This is actually Bill Cosby doing his stand-up routine on drugging women and having sex with them, basically, which is like, maybe it wasn't just a made-up comedy routine after all.
When I was 13, man, start talking about weird things. No, really, stand on a corner. You know anything about Spanish fly? What? Spanish fly? It always happens when you're 13. Only when you're 13 on up to, like, when you get married. Guys stand around and talk about Spanish fly, and it never starts with one of the guys on the corner. It's always some strange 13-year-old that says, you know what? You know anything about Spanish fly? No, tell me about it. Well, there's this girl, Crazy Mary. You put some in her drink, man. She... Yeah, Spanish... Oh, yeah, that's really groovy, man. Spanish fly is groovy, yeah, boy. From then on, man, anytime you see a girl... Well, she has no Spanish fly, boy. Go to a party, see five girls standing alone. Boy, if I had a whole jug of Spanish fly, I'd light that corner up over there. So I thought it only existed in Philadelphia, you know, and I'm working on I Spy, and Bob and I are working together. Sheldon Leonard comes up, says, boys, I Spy is going to Spain. A childhood dream come true. I said to Bob, you know, because he don't know nothing about it. I said, hey, Bob, you know what I'm going to pick up when I'm in Spain? He said, Spanish fly. I said, wait a minute, man. How'd you know about it? He said, are you kidding? There's a girl in my neighborhood in Berkeley. Her name's Crazy Mary. We gave her some drugs. And every time he told me a story, I had heard it. Every time I told him a story, he had heard it. We all knew the same story. So I figured there's got to be a guy about 2,000 years old that looks 13 going around the world. You guys know anything about Spanish fly? So Bob and I, man, we're just singing. Gonna get some Spanish fly. Spanish fly. Love it, love it. And we're riding on the plane. Spanish fly. Spanish fly. And we're getting to go through customs. This is the land of Spanish fly. Spanish fly. We get in the cab. Ryan, the driver. Bob says, ask this guy if he knows where we can get some Spanish fly. I said, you don't ask the cab driver. No, ask the cab driver. He may know, man. Driver, say, senor. Listen, you Spanish? Si, senor, you American? Yes. You come from America? Yes. You could tell me maybe you brought with you some American fly?
Huh? You know what I'm saying? I mean, people laughing then, not so funny now. Could that have been a harbinger of sexual death for Bill Cosby? Yeah. It is. Sad. Sad. Well, as the days go on in 2014, we'll hit some of these other interesting moments during the year. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have... I'm not going to take your time today because I know you have to go to the stores and return everything that you got for Christmas. You know, when your family comes over and you give them stuff, half of it they say, well, thanks for the clothes, Bob, but this doesn't fit. I'm not a large anymore. I'm an extra large, or vice versa. Never buy clothes for people on Christmas or on Hanukkah. Don't, because you have to try it on. If you don't try it on and it doesn't fit, you're not going to look good. People who are walking down the street in clothes that look too big or too tight on them, they didn't buy those clothes. They were given to them by somebody else who had a lazy ass and didn't want to return them, or you didn't want to insult them by saying, this really doesn't look good on me, but I'll keep it anyway. And then one day you run out of clothes and you don't want to do the laundry, and you look in the closet and there's that one piece of godforsaken clothing, that shirt that you got as a gift on Christmas, and you go, oh crap, it's all I got. Put it on. And then you're walking around, everybody's going, wow, this person doesn't know how to dress. Look at that. It's way too large on them. Yeah, that's what happens. So today's the day that people say, oh my God, I spent all this money. I got to return this stuff and get my money back really, really fast. So today's going to be a very busy return day. My suggestion is don't do it today. Do it like when the store opens up first thing in the morning. Choose one day that you're going to get up early, and you're just going to say to yourself, I'm going to get up early, and you go to the store and you'll be one of the first people there and return before the lines start getting heavy, because there's nothing more frustrating than doing Christmas shopping and then spending the next 2 weeks returning everything that you bought. But that's what happens. I told you not to buy clothes for people. I've told you that before. Do you remember me telling you that? No, because I didn't do it. I'm just saying. You'll probably believe that I did, even though that's the one thing that I didn't say. But don't buy stuff for people anymore. Just stop it. Give them money. Give them a gift card, whatever. I make it simple. I say to someone, hey, you like tuna fish? Yeah, I like tuna fish. Here's a couple of cans for you. Have a good day. They love it. They love the tuna fish. I've done a good deed. And if it doesn't work out, I give it to the food bank. You know what I'm saying? The food bank. and you will also find that starting today and certainly going into next week, all the things that you bought are going to go on sale. All the stuff you got for somebody, all the money you spent for Christmas and Hanukkah gifts, you're going to find, well, you didn't, you know, had the timing been different, you could have saved 50% on all of this stuff. Everything that you bought is going to go on sale. So if you're really smart, you'll return everything you bought for somebody if you can get your hands on it and keep the receipts. Return it all and then rebuy it, and you'll save yourself a hell of a lot of money. These are little tips that are so just so near and dear to me, and that's pretty much how you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.